so we might now turn to the chapter of God's Word, which we read from John's Gospel, chapter number 1. Gospel according to John, and chapter 1. And we shall now read again from verse 35. Again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Well, we have this passage here then before us, this Friday evening of the communion season, when we seek to prosecute the duty of self-examination, and particularly with a view to the remembrance of the Saviour's death in the coming of his people to his table to partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. This is a sacrament, of course, that is for the disciples of Christ, the followers of Jesus, those who are his true disciples. And we find here, in this interesting passage of God's Word, some of the first disciples that followed Jesus. We often think, of course, rightly so, of this opening chapter in John as giving us much light, and it does, upon the person of Christ, particularly his divinity. He is the Word. There are wonderful titles, of course, of Jesus in this chapter. The Word, he's called the Light, he's called Christ, he's called Rabbi, he's called the Son of God, he's called the King of Israel and the Son of Man. And there may be more titles than that. Wonderful titles that give us light upon the glorious person of the Savior. But we also find here the beginnings of those who are coming to Christ, and they are following him, and they are his disciples. Here we read of Andrew and another disciple who is not named, but some think that it is most likely John himself who wrote this gospel, and who often is at pains to hide his name when it might be, as it were, to his great credit, as it was here. After all, he's one of the first people then who followed Jesus and acknowledged him as the Messiah. So, we are, of course, on the Friday of the communion to examine ourselves as to whether we are the disciples of Jesus, and whether, therefore, there are those among us who should see it as their duty to obey the Savior's command, this do in remembrance of me. For that is a command, friends, that is specifically to the disciples of Jesus. And this is the great question for us. Of course, it's a great question of life to those of us who are of age, as it were, to address it. The great question is, am I a disciple of Jesus? Now, what would be your answer if I was to ask you that question? Are you a disciple of Jesus? This is a question we ought to be facing up to. So much hangs upon it. Are we those who can say with Andrew, we have found the Messiah? Am I a disciple of Jesus? That is the question we should ask ourselves. Because, of course, if we are the true disciples of Jesus, then we have this good hope, hope of heaven, sin pardoned, and a wonderful and glorious Savior that we are following, who is termed even by John, as you can see in this chapter, that is John the Baptist, even the Lamb of God, when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Well, we are looking at this passage then this evening. In John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. And the particular disciple that I want to take special notice of this evening is Andrew. That is our subject then, Andrew, and the subheading being a disciple of Jesus. Andrew, a disciple of Jesus. Ah, what a wonderful thing. How very precious, friends, that Andrew, in his life, came to be a disciple of Jesus. He wasn't always a disciple of Jesus. The Lord's people among us were not always disciples of Jesus. But how good, friend, it is if you be a disciple of Jesus as Andrew was, and you are here this evening and saying, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. We know the Christ, and we are following him. We are determined to do so. And how can we not? Because he is the Christ. Well, let us look at this subject of Andrew, a disciple of Jesus. The 3 points to consider, as the Lord may help us this evening, are as follows. Firstly, how that he came to Christ. He came to Christ. Behold the Lamb of God, he was told, along with his fellow. And they followed Jesus. And Jesus said to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. He came to Christ. Came to Christ. Then secondly, he followed Christ. They followed Jesus. Did not just come for a time, but he tarried with the Savior. Tarried with the Savior. And we never read, of course, of Andrew, that he ceased from following Christ. Yes, there was the time when he and others, in the shadow of Calvary, as it were, being taken with great fear, all forsook him and fled. But, of course, Andrew and others, true disciples, were brought back by Christ, and he was one who saw the risen Savior. And then thirdly, we note how that he professed Christ. He professed Christ. He made profession of Christ. We have found, he says to Simon, we have found the Messiah. And when you think about it, that was a wonderful profession. Very wonderful. We have found the Messiah, which is, writes John, being interpreted, the Christ. He came to Christ. He followed Christ, and he professed Christ, and therefore we can conclude he was a disciple of Jesus. He was a disciple of Christ. And as such an one, of course, in due course, he would be one who would be present to partake of that first Lord's Supper. When Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Well, firstly, he came to Christ. And we read here how it was that came about. A general point can be made, of course, that he came to Christ. There was a time when he did not know Christ. Of course, we know nothing really of the youth of this man, Andrew, no more than we know of Peter. What we know about these men is that they were brothers, and we know that they were fishermen, along with James and John. Their youth is hid from us. Whether they spent their youth in obedience and love of the parents, or whether they spent time of rebelliousness, we are not told. But of course, there are certain things that we can understand of them, even as we can understand of one another, although there is but little that we know, perhaps, of each other's youth. We can say that Andrew, like all of us, was a sinner. He was the son of Adam. He was one who had a sinful nature, and he was one who therefore stood in need of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So there was a time in this man's life when he was not as such a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you examine your own life here this evening, you can look back and you can see there was a time when you were not a disciple of Jesus. A time when you perhaps went very far astray from the right ways of the Lord. When you followed the ways of sin and Satan. And when you stood in great need of this glorious person, the Lamb of God. Well, Andrew was one who came to Christ. And although there is much indeed that is hid from us, yet we can say he was one who was attracted to in the gracious providence of God, a savior from sin. And how essential that is, and how important that is that we be examining ourselves this evening in the light of the Word of God as to whether we have been persuaded and enabled to embrace this Savior, this Christ, this Lamb of God, by faith. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, in Andrew's case, we find that in the providence of God, he lived in a time when John the Baptist began to exercise his God-ordained ministry. And Andrew was one who came under the power of that ministry, who followed that ministry, and we believe who very much benefited from that particular ministry. There were other ministries. There were other rabbis. There were other teachers. There were other persons who were gathering people after them. There were scribes. There were Pharisees. There were zealots of the Jewish faith and various persons. And just as in our own day, there are many teachers and false teachers at that, no doubt. But in the good providence of God, we find that here was a man, even Andrew, who for a time was found under the ministry of the very forerunner of the Savior himself. One who was a holy man of God. One who was given a great work to do. The forerunner of Christ. One who was so holy that he had to confess and deny not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. Just think about that. People were actually asking him, was he the Christ? Was he the Messiah? What a holy ministry. And just as in the ministry of Jesus, no quarter was given to sin. By the ministry of Jesus, How the Savior denounced sin, wherever he found it, even if it would be in the Pharisees, so too in the ministry of John the Baptist. So we have to say of this man Andrew, he didn't sit under a light ministry where sin was not condemned. And you see how important that is. How important in this day that we be found sitting under ministers who would preach the truth, who would warn us about sin, who would be faithful to our souls, and indeed who would say to us, as John the Baptist said to Andrew, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God," pointing to Jesus, pointing away from himself to Christ, pointing away from himself to Jesus. Well, how important it was that Andrew would be under such a ministry as that. And it was through that ministry, really, was it not, that he was led to find Christ identified to him, and by the Spirit's teaching was brought to be willing to follow the Savior. Brought to be willing to follow Jesus. Now, is it not true as we come to this communion season that the congregation here is privileged to sit under a ministry where, we trust, sin is identified. Sinners are warned. And surely, where Christ is pointed to as the Lamb of God. As the Lamb of God. And the question is, that having this privilege of sitting under the Word, have you come to Christ? And if not, why not? Are you a disciple of Jesus? And having heard so much about him, and about sin and the danger of it, how is it that you be not a disciple of Jesus? How is it that you be not a follower of the Lamb of God? How is it that you still, as it were, halt between two opinions, having heard so much of Christ and him crucified? Behold the Lamb of God. Well, this was Andrew's privilege and blessing. He was under the ministry of John the Baptist, who faithfully, as we can see here, pointed Andrew to Christ. Pointed Andrew to the Savior. Pointed Andrew to the Lamb of God. And through that means, as it were, in God's gracious providence, Andrew was led to come to Jesus. Was led to come to Jesus. He came to Christ. So, you see, it is not mere chance that the Lord gives us the blessing of sitting under the ministry of the Word. Many of our fellow sinners know nothing of these things. They know nothing of the warnings of sin, the warnings against it, and know nothing of a Savior who is presented as a Savior from sin, as a sin atoning sacrifice, even as was the case here with Andrew and those like him who sat under the ministry of John. John, seeing Jesus, look at it here, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. How telling these words are. Who taketh away. The word means to take away by taking upon oneself. Who beareth away. And you see, that's the Savior that we all need, and whose death after all is being remembered in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, as Savior that bears away sin. The great burden As Bunyan's pilgrim is depicted there in the Pilgrim's Progress as having a great burden upon his back, and he cannot find peace till he comes to the cross of Christ. He cannot find the removal of that burden until he comes to Jesus Christ and him crucified. And it's that Savior then whose death we are seeking to prepare to remember. Well, we are to examine ourselves. Think about our life. Think about our walk. Think about the Lord's dealings with us. Think about the days when we didn't know Jesus. Think about the means used by the Lord to bring us to faith in his Son. Think about whether we be the disciples of Jesus or not, and whether that question then, and command is addressed to us, this do in remembrance of me. Well, we move on to the second point, which is the following of Christ, how he followed Christ. He followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. Well, he could not follow Jesus, but that first he came to Jesus. And, of course, that is so vital. We must come to Christ, who, of course, bids sinners welcome, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So, we are to come. But having come to Christ by faith, we are to continue to come. We are to continue to follow. We are to dwell with him, as it were, even as Andrew did. Jesus turned and saw them following. The whole picture, and it is a picture, is instructive, is it not? John's Gospel, as well as setting forth Christ as the Son of God and Savior, certainly takes a lot to do with discipleship, following Jesus, the duty, the calling, the responsibility of the disciple. From chapter 1, and indeed even there in chapter 21. Here we find the first disciples following Jesus, Andrew and his fellow, then Simon Peter, then Philip, then Nathanael, and so on. And then when we come to the final chapter in John's Gospel, then we find Peter and the Savior restoring him in a public way, and the Savior making it clear that his ministry is to be useful. He is to be a feeder of the sheep of Christ. And what does Jesus say? He says to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." What is that to thee? Follow thou me. How easily we are distracted from this vital duty, fundamental duty of Christian discipleship, which is to follow Christ. What will this man do? What will that one do? What will this one do at the communion? What will that one do? "What is that to thee? Follow thou me," says Jesus to his disciples. "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." And here is Andrew, and he is following Jesus. And we see that as he follows Jesus, the Savior turns and speaks to them both. "What seek ye? What seek ye?" The questions of Christ are so instructive because they immediately put us to the duty of reflection, which is a good duty. meditation, consideration. What seek ye? Yes, the Savior says that tonight too. What seek ye? Why are you following me? It's a Friday evening. So many are following the world. So many are following the ways of sin, particularly in this night of the week, as it were. The working week is over. How often you hear people say they're looking forward to the weekend. They're looking forward to the Friday night. Get out among their fellows and their friends and the dance and in the drink and in the social fellowship. But you are not among them. You are here this evening listening to this sermon, listening to the gospel, listening to discipleship being described here in the case of Andrew. And what seek ye? That is what the Savior says to you. What seek ye? What are you wanting from me? What are you looking for from me that you can't get anywhere else? And remember, friends, and we perhaps should have made this point earlier, but remember, who is it that Andrew leaves in order to follow Jesus? He leaves John the Baptist. And, of course, that itself speaks to us of the great weight that he put upon the ministry of John, because John was willing that his disciples should follow Jesus, for he was greater than John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God, he is saying. So he is following Jesus. He is following as a disciple of the Christ. What seek ye? They say unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. Ah, Jesus asked the question, and surely in the knowledge that he would soon give this encouragement to these disciples. Come. That beautiful word, that gospel word. Come and see. Come and dwell with me. Come and follow me. Come and be my disciples. There's nothing here of the Savior repelling these people, but everything of Christ drawing them to himself. He is the Lamb of God, and as such, they are attracted to him, because John, good man though he was, great man though he was not the Christ. He was not the one who could give eternal life to these disciples. He was not the Savior. But he directed them to the Savior, and he delighted surely to see them following the Savior and becoming his disciples. Come and see, says Jesus. Come and see, and they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So they come and they follow Jesus. And this is the very picture of discipleship, of following Christ, of following after him. It's interesting to note how committed we trust Andrew and his fellow were to John the Baptist. Perhaps it is best illustrated by the fact that there were the two there. Where were the rest? Who knows? But how good it was that when John could say, behold the Lamb of God, Andrew was there. And I think that this, friends, reminds us of how good it is and how pleasing to Christ it is in those who are his disciples that they be committed to his cause here in this world. Is it not their reasonable service? Is it not their reasonable service? Those who are the disciples of Christ, is it not a mark upon them that they desire to be where Jesus is? They desire to be at the prayer meeting where Jesus is. Not always be the case, perhaps, that they can be present with sickness or detained by necessary duties from time to time, but their desire is to be with Jesus, to be where he is. We see the commitment of Andrew. And because he is with John, again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. John stood and two of his disciples. How good it was that these two were there to hear these momentous words. Behold the Lamb of God. And to follow Jesus. To be made willing. To actually become the disciples of Christ. And to follow Jesus. To hear these words. You see, that is the case then. We little know when the Lord may deal very mercifully with us. Maybe at a Wednesday evening prayer meeting. Even as you are here, week by week, hearing as we understand, the minister go through the Psalms. It's not Christ in the Psalms. Might it not be that the Lord could give you a great blessing through that means of grace? Look at John. Look at his two disciples. Look at the privilege and the blessing that was Andrew's when he was attendant upon this ministry of John the Baptist. Oh, what a wonderful blessing. Behold, he is told, the Lamb of God, Jesus passing by, Jesus there, and identified very plainly as the Christ. For who is the Christ but the Lamb of God? And who is the Lamb of God but Jesus Christ? Well, he becomes a follower of the Savior. As Matthew Henry notes, the strongest and most prevailing argument with a sensible soul to follow Christ is that it is he and he only that takes away sin. The strongest and most prevailing argument with a sensible soul to follow Christ is that it is he and he only that takes away sin. He and he only takes away sin. And is that not the Savior that we are seeking to prepare to remember his death? The Savior that takes away sin. The true disciple will say, this is the Savior that I need. This is the Savior that I must follow. This is the Savior that I must follow hard after. Yea, even unto death. This is the Savior that I dare not to go aside from, but I must abide with him. I must follow him. And I can then say to others, I have found with Andrew even the Christ. I have found the Messiah. Because, of course, he has found me. He has found me through his own blessing upon his own means of grace. Behold the Lamb of God, Andrew is told, and he followed Jesus. Come and see, Jesus encouraging his discipleship. Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Well, does not the Savior say regarding his servants that where he is, there will his servant be also? So the question is for us, are we the disciples of Jesus? Do we have the marks of grace that we can find here in Andrew? His recognition of Jesus as the Christ is surely grounded in this, his need of a Savior. Because after all, the Savior that is presented to him by John is one who is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Andrew, as it were, in his soul is saying, this is the Savior I need. This is the Savior I need, one who takes away my sin, one who gives me life, one whose righteousness must clothe me, one who is a redeemer and a ransom and a Savior. This is the Savior that I need, even this same Jesus of Nazareth. Well, we come thirdly and lastly then to the profession that Andrew made. He professed Christ. He professed Christ. And we read it here in the following words then. he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Well, here is the burden of the true disciple, revealed to us here in the Word of God. It's very simple. It's very plain. Andrew, at the call of the true minister, as it were, of the Lord's forerunner, John the Baptist, a great prophet, true prophet, a man of God, pronounces concerning Jesus that he is the Lamb of God. We read he was looking upon Jesus as he walked. I should have mentioned that that word looking means to look with intenseness and intent, so that there was a great seriousness then in the ministry of John the Baptist regarding the identification of Jesus as the Savior from sin. Behold the Lamb of God. Andrew comes to Jesus. Andrew follows Jesus. But we also read that Andrew professed Jesus. He professed Christ. And that again is a true mark of a disciple of Jesus. It is not enough, of course, if we look at the Bible and we look at the history of the early church, it's not enough that we would come to Christ and follow Christ, but there ought to be in discipleship a professing to the world and to others of Christ. That's what we find in Andrew's case. And we must remind ourselves, these are the first disciples. This is the first mention we have of disciples of Jesus. This is full of principle then, full of meaning. Coming to Christ at the call of the word, of the faithful man of God, the following of Jesus, desiring to abide with him and not just be with him for a time. The professing of Christ, all of these things are here. And we are to examine ourselves then as to whether we find these things in ourselves. Even we might say, in the desire. In the desire. Perhaps we have not yet professed Christ. Even although we would have to acknowledge the Lord has dealt mercifully with us to give us faith in Christ. The Lord has not suffered us, as has been the case with some, to fall away from Christ by apostasy or backsliding, remissness. The Lord has, in spite of all our sin and backwardness, kept us looking unto Jesus. We know that we can say of a truth with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of God. We have found the Messiah. Ah, this is what we must profess. And the opportunity, you see, is ours at this communion season to make that profession that the disciple should make. To make that profession in coming to the Lord's table, that we might be further strengthened in our faith through the precious means of grace appointed by our Master. By our Master. What did they say? See, indicative of the true discipleship. In the desire. They said unto him, Rabbi. Jesus says, What seek ye? We seek a teacher. We seek the Rabbi, who is above all rabbis. And we must remind ourselves that Andrew and his fellow as Jews were not at liberty just to call anybody rabbi. This was a high term that was reserved to the greatest of teachers. And they are calling him rabbi, even as they, at the call of John, leave John the Baptist to follow Jesus. He is a great rabbi then, who will take up their affections, as it were, more even than John the Baptist. Rabbi, well, that's a mark of the true disciple, that he or she desires to be taught, desires to be instructed. That is why you come to the Word. That is why you come to the preaching. That is why you desire the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ. You may be further taught and instructed, chastened and corrected if need be. That's the mark of the true disciple, that humble following of Christ, that teachable frame of spirit that Andrew here exemplifies. He says to Simon, "We have found the Messiah." These wonderful words, these five words, simple words, full of meaning. "We have found the Messiah." He says it to Simon. He says it to his brother. He says it to his loved one. He makes profession. And, of course, sometimes some of us may have found that it is hardest of all to profess Christ before those that we know and love. It's hardest of all. It's a perplexing thing, a strange thing. In the ministry of a man by the name of Spencer, Ichabod Spencer in America, he had a man, I think, in his congregation or came to his attention who wasn't professing Christ, and he wondered at this for a long time. And eventually it came to light that this man was not keeping family worship. He was not praying in his home. And the minister encouraged him to attend to that duty. And in so doing, it wasn't long before he professed Christ to the world. That was the case of that man. We have to profess Christ. And sometimes it's hardest to profess Christ among those that we know or in our own congregation, those that know us best and perhaps know our inconsistencies and frailties best of all. But this is the discipleship that is the discipleship of the disciples of Jesus. To profess the Savior in our families, in our congregations, in our workplaces, in our communities, and even as the disciples would find it, and indeed Andrew himself would find it, even unto death, and perhaps even a violent death in his case as a martyr for Christ. But this is where Andrew began, you see, to profess Christ. He didn't begin to profess Christ when he was crucified, if he was crucified, when he died for Christ. He began to profess Christ here when he came to Christ and followed Christ and professed Christ in the first place to his brother, Simon, to whom he said, "Good it was that he said to such a one who would be such a great man of God himself, Simon Peter, who would eclipse his brother, we would say, in usefulness in the cause of Christ." But Andrew was in Christ, we might say, before him, a disciple of Jesus before Peter. "We have found the Messiah." Oh, how good it was that was so. And it was through the preaching of John, and it was through the persuading influence, we trust, of the Holy Spirit, that Andrew was persuaded and enabled to follow Jesus. What think ye of Christ? Are you a disciple of Jesus? We've heard only today of the death of another Andrew. He was very well known in the Christian church. Smuggled Bibles into China and other places. It was in the book of his life, God's Smuggler, very widely published. And he died this week, Andrew from Vanderbilt, from Holland. And I was told that he wished, if anything would be inscribed on his grave, one of the things at least he was saying was, well, if anything is to be inscribed on my grave, it would be a disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus. How wonderful to be a disciple of Jesus. But the question for you on the Friday evening of the communion is, are you a disciple of Jesus? And to the disciples of Jesus, Jesus himself says, this do in remembrance of me. May he bless his word to us, we shall pray. O gracious and holy one, teach us to pray. Give us to be thankful for the case that has been before us. Case of Andrew and his fellow, how they followed Jesus. So often we complicate things and make things more difficult, as it were, than they should be. For faith in Christ is a grace that the Holy Spirit can work in a child. And we are to have the faith of little children. That simplicity of trusting in Jesus as the Christ, as the Lamb of God, as the one who is the sin bearer. How simple a thing it is, yet beyond the wisest of men, if left to themselves, and yet such a thing as is made so easy to the child when the Spirit works and draws the sinner to Jesus. Lord, we pray that we would have that simple faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that sincere and consistent following of Jesus of Nazareth, and that grace given to us and strength given to us to make public profession of so worthy a Savior, even at this communion season. May the opportunity not pass us by. Bless us and forgive us. Help thy servant on the morrow. Give him great strength of body and mind, wisdom, and grace to help in time of need. Bless the Kirk session in its meeting. Give strength unto all thy people. Help thy disciples here to be true disciples of Jesus. Prepare us to remember his death. Forgive us for Christ's sake. Amen.